Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When the first Book of Common Prayer was placed into the hands of the Church of England in 1549, not only was the liturgy now completely in the English language, and not only did it contain offices for morning and evening prayer, along with a lectionary so that the life of ordered prayer could now be within the reach of the lay person, and not only the clergyman, the monk, or the nun, but liturgies that were beforehand unavailable were now printed in black and white, and some red in the rubrics. While it might be only once in a lifetime that the cobbler or the cooper of the local hill or dale or hamlet or glebe or shire of the 16th century might be able to actually see the consecration of a bishop, nevertheless, there in the prayer book was the liturgy for just such an occasion. And then as now, while it is a rare occasion, it still behooves the observant Anglican to once in a while have a look at those words that are printed there in liturgies that sometimes you might not even see. Anglicans are fond of the 5th century dictum of Prosper of Aquitaine, which is shortened to a little catchphrase, lex orandi, lex credendi. That is, the law of prayer, lex orandi, is the law of belief, lex credendi. If you want to know what an Anglican ought to believe, it is to the prayers of the church that one must look. Sometimes people coming from other traditions are quite frustrated that we don't have a giant catechism that answers all the questions, or whether Westminster or Lutheran or even the 660-page Roman catechism, we don't have anything like that. If you want to know what an Anglican believes, look at what an Anglican prays. It's for this reason, I believe, the creeds are formulated like prayers, and no doubt the reason that the offices of instruction meant to instruct little ones in the Anglican Church are presented by the prayer book in the form of a liturgy, a prayer, rather than a class. If you want to know what an Anglican believes about the ordained ministry of the church through bishops and in turn priests and deacons, one must turn to the ordinal, present in every Book of Common Prayer, including the one in the pew or in your hands right before you. Why would we talk about ordination on a day like today? Because it's no coincidence that in the prayers of the church at the consecration of a bishop, that one of the gospel lessons included there is the very gospel that we've heard today, the first Sunday after Easter. And why would it come the first Sunday after Easter? For what Jesus was doing in that passage is nothing short of the consecration of the first bishops, the episcopos, the overseers of the church in that upper room. Jesus, when he appeared to the apostles in the upper room for the first time after his resurrection, according to St. John, wasted no time at all in communicating a word that it seemed he had been very anxious to say. Included in his words, indeed, are a prayer that he has been anxious to pray for them, but could not yet until that time. And likewise, without delay, liturgically, the church wastes no time in presenting that gospel account of those words of Jesus as soon as possible after Easter, which is the first Sunday after Easter today. And so on the first Sunday after Easter, we enter into that upper room in Jerusalem with the disciples and imagine again just how shocked they were to see Jesus appear to them there after having locked the door and hid for fear of the Jews. Seeing Jesus, the words that they hear him say first are these, the same words repeated almost without variation at the consecration of a bishop. Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Now you can take the prayer book out from the pew in front of you if you're interested and turn not to the Collect, Epistle, and Gospel for the first Sunday after Easter, where this passage is found, but where it is found again in the form for ordaining and consecrating a bishop on page 551. And you'll find at the bottom of that page the passage that we've heard today from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 20. But John 20 is not the only passage that you may read or be heard read on such a special day as that. You'll see there are three passages from the Gospels. Because the liturgy includes the option of also recounting a scene that occurs not in John 20, but John 21. Jesus had been on the seashore as the disciples had decided to go fishing. And yes, having been given the power and authority from Christ to bind and to loose in heaven whatever they bound or loosed on earth, they went fishing. Jesus calls on them who had caught no fish that they should cast their nets on the other side. The same thing he yelled out to them years before when their boats almost sank from the amount of fish they took in. And when Peter had said to Jesus, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man," if you remember that scene. Peter now knew better than to tell Jesus to go away. If anything, he was telling himself again, "Go away." For this time, Peter leapt from the boat and swam to shore to meet Jesus, the same eager Peter. Hardly having recovered from his betrayal at denying Christ three times before the crucifixion, now he was questioned by the Lord after his resurrection. Not so bold, a little sheepish. Jesus asks this Saint Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" And the word translated as love is agape. Do you love me now after all this, compared to everything else, unconditionally? St. Peter answers, "You know I love you." And the word he uses is phileo, brotherly love, which is less. But they're both translated as love. And Jesus asks again, "Do you love agape me? Do you love me unconditionally?" And Peter again answers, he loves Jesus, phileo, brotherly love, like a brother. And St. Peter, the third time Jesus asks, Jesus changes the word from agape to phileo. "Do you love me like a brother then?" And St. Peter is grieved. You remember that? He is grieved that Jesus asked. We think he's grieved because he asked to ask him three times. He's grieved because he changed the word from agape to phileo. He lowered the bar for Peter. And Peter, this time, says, "You know I love you." Jesus had explicitly lowered his expectation of St. Peter. If you've ever had anyone lower their expectations for you, it's a little disappointing in yourself. You can imagine St. Peter being sheepish and officially being lowered. St. Peter knew Jesus was accommodating for his hesitations, and it made him sad. But nevertheless, the command following each one of these questions, "Do you love me?" is the same command, never lowered. "If you love me, feed my sheep." This is the reason that remains part of the consecration of bishops even now, and likewise to the clergy upon whom they delegate their ministry as priests and deacons. "If you love me unconditionally, even if you only love me as a brother, feed my sheep." This is the second of the scriptures that may be read at the consecration of a bishop. First of all, "To you has been given the power to forgive and retain the sins in the name of Jesus." Secondly, "To you has been given the command to feed the people of God out of love for Christ, the best love you can muster." But there's a third gospel that may be read as we discover this day, just what Jesus meant for the ministers of his continued incarnate ministry on earth to do. The last three verses of the entire gospel, according to St. Matthew, close that account with these words of Jesus to his newly ordained bishops. He says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Even this is presented as a prayer, in a sense. The shepherds which continue the ministry of Christ in his stead are to baptize, to feed, to teach, to forgive, to love, and to know that Christ is always with them unto the end, regardless. And perhaps most of all was the command that came first after all of these things were loaded upon their shoulders. The first command is, don't freak out. Peace be unto you. And again, I say twice, peace be unto you. As my Father sent me, so send I you. That may not be a source for peace for a lot of people to be told the mission they received was just like Christ. For the Father sent the Son on a mission that would not fail, could not fail, but was nevertheless the way of the cross and the grave before it was the way of resurrection. And now Jesus sends out his bishops into the world in the same way. All power is given to the Lord, and he sends them out to walk the way of the cross in a mission that will not fail, that cannot fail, saying, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. If you want to know what a Christian believes about the church, look at the words that we pray. If you want to know what an Anglican believes, especially on a day like this, at the very outset of Eastertide, amidst a world over which we may begin to worry that all is lost, remember first of all, that he has not left us comfortless. He said to our shepherds, peace be unto you, and he sent the Holy Spirit. Remember that he has not left us without his divine life to be taken into ourselves. You are fed from the Lord's very body, blood, and soul, and divinity. For as his ministers love Christ, so they feed you at his command, in his stead, from his altar. Remember that while storm clouds gather and waves swell and roar, the one who can calm the sea at a word has promised nothing has changed. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. On the feast day of an apostle, the church prays these words in preface to the consecration of the sacrament. The preface is our prayer, and also that we should humbly entreat thee, O Lord, the everlasting shepherd, not to leave thy flock unattended. What a prayer. We know he won't. But that by thy blessed apostles to keep it in thy continual protection, that it may be governed by those same rulers whom in thy stead thou hast given for thy work as shepherds of thy people. May we understand this day that as we pray, so we believe. As Jesus ordained, so we trust in his provision. What we pray is what we believe. What we believe is what he taught us. What he taught us is that we are sheep of his pasture, and that his true shepherds are the means of his continued ministry. Christians are to be people who are at peace. As sheep of Christ's fold, lambs of his own flock, sinners of his own redeeming, who enjoy reception into the arms of his mercy and true hope in the blessed rest of everlasting peace, who likewise know what it is to be fed by shepherds who love Christ and minister in his name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.